anointing and the anointed. Are you ready now? Good. Now, what is anointing? I will not give any theological definition. I will define this thing in a way that the market woman can understand. Anointing is that which enables an ordinary man to do a supernatural thing. When I say man, I mean man and woman. Anointing is that which enables an ordinary human being to do supernatural things. Anointing is not skill. It's not something you learn. Maybe I should explain that one. There's a difference between skill and anointing. Skill, for example, is something you learn, something you acquire by practice. Anointing is something that is heavenly given, something that comes from above. And I'll give you an illustration. There was a gathering, Christian gathering, and there was this professional singer who came and sang Psalm 23. By the time she finished singing, everybody got up and clapped and clapped and clapped because it was fantastic presentation. When finally they sat down, an old man there went to the man conducting the program and said, "Please, can I sing the same song?" And well, okay, let's see how you sing. After all, there's time, more time for entertainment. And the old man got up and sang Psalm 23. By the time she finished, everybody was on his or her knees, weeping and crying to God. The first one was skill. The second one was what? Okay. Today, there are many skillful preachers. People who know how to begin. A, B, C. Introduction, body, conclusion. With a lot of gymnastics. A lot of shouting, a lot of sweating, a lot of running up and down. So that at the end of the day, you say, "Wow, what a wonderful service." But the following day, if they ask you, "What exactly happened yesterday?" "Oh, it was wonderful." "Hey, we know. But what happened to you?" "Oh, well, it was wonderful." That's skill. And anybody can learn it. Anybody can get all the tapes of Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Jerry Savey, Schambach, memorize them in his bedroom. Come out, repeat everything word for word, and put all kinds of gesticulations, the church will grow. But they will not be a group of people with changed lives. So there's a difference between good sermons and great sermons. Good sermons you enjoy. Great sermons you never forget. One comes through skill, the other comes through anointing. Somebody can beat the drum skillfully and we will all enjoy it. Another can beat the same drum and your head will swell. Anointing. So, as simply as I can, that's anointing. There are various things we can compare it to. One good thing is we can compare it to electricity. Anointing is like divine electricity. You don't see it, but it's there. You know it by what it produces, by the work that it does. If all of a sudden this microphone were to go silent, if the light were suddenly to go off, without anybody telling you, we will all say, "Power failure." So anointing is something that when you have it, you don't need to tell people you have it. It will show itself. Whenever you see somebody who says he's dripping with anointing, he hasn't got it. When a woman is pregnant, she doesn't go about telling everybody, "Don't you know I'm pregnant?" If you are pregnant, we will see. If a woman begins to tell you, "You know I'm already 3 months pregnant," find out. She ate extra pounded yam. Anointing is like divine electricity.
also, because of the way it works in the life of those who have it, it also obeys certain laws of heat.
You know, when you are standing in the sun, you cannot see that thing which is really making you sweat. Of course, you can see the sun up there, but that which is raising your temperature is not something you can hold by the hand, but you know it is there quite all right. I'm saying that because of the three possible ways by which anointing can be transferred. Because my prayer today is that by the time you go out of here, you will become the anointed.
Amen.
I didn't hear your amen.
Amen.
You better remain awake, because you are not going to hear this lecture ever again. Unless maybe you hear it through the tape. So this is a unique opportunity. And don't stay awake, no matter how tired you are. Just sleep. Leave me alone at this moment. If you feel sleepy, go and stand at the back. Three ways by which anointing could be transferred. Anybody who does, oh well, maybe you want to write down Isaiah chapter 10 verse 27. Isaiah 10 verse 27 says, the anointing breaks the yoke. Anointing breaks the yoke. Whether the yoke of sickness or yoke of poverty or yoke of sorrow, anything. When anointing is there, the yoke will be broken. Three ways by which anointing could be transferred. One way is called by conduction. By conduction means by physical contact. If a man who is anointed comes physically in contact with someone who needs anointing, anointing can be transferred. For example, if a man shakes hands with you with the intention of transferring anointing, anointing can be transferred. In other words, we can shake hands for greeting purposes. How are you? God bless you. Hello, my dear, and so on. But when we shake hands with the intention of saying, take it, you can get anointed. Amen? All right. Well, a good example to prove that is found in Acts of the Apostles chapter 3, verse 1 to 8. Acts 3, 1 to 8. It's the story of the man who was born lame, sitting at the beautiful gate of the temple, begging for alms. He saw Peter and John going to the temple, asked for alms. Peter and John came back and said, look on us. What does that one mean? Be attentive. Something is about to happen. How many of you already feel something is going to happen to you today anyway? Let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
So look on us. That's the first thing they said. Be attentive. Don't let your mind wander. Look on us. And then he paid attention. Of course, he was thinking he was going to get money. And the man said, no, we don't have money, but we have something we want to give to you. Some people said what he gave to him was the name of Jesus. No. He said, what I have I give unto you, but I'm giving it in the name of Jesus. Stand up and walk. And the man stood up, remained there, sitting down, not moving. So Peter perceived that this man's faith is not the kind that can receive anointing by any other method other than by conduction. He grabbed his hand. And as he did, the anointing flowed from Peter into the man. And as he entered the tip of his hand, it went through the rest of the body and broke every yoke that was binding that man. And suddenly, the man jumped up, began to leap, to praise God. And I'm praying that today, there will be some jumping and dancing and rejoicing here in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Another way by which anointing can be transferred is called convention. Those of you who did a little bit of science, you will know what that one means. It means anointing can be transferred through a medium. Like, for example, you know, I said it could be compared to electricity. Your car is parked somewhere. It took you there quite all right. And after you park, you try to start, and it refused to start. And you check, and you found that it was your battery that has run down. What do? You pick the battery. You bring it to a battery charger. What does the battery charger do? It just connected your battery to the main source. And after current has flown into your battery to give it
to transfer a little bit of the electricity from the source to your battery, you now carry your battery back to the car. And you kick the fellow and it begins to work again. So anointing has been transferred from the main source, from the socket in the shop of the battery charger into your battery. Your battery now carry that anointing, as it were, to your car. That's what you see us doing when we pray over handkerchiefs and send it to somebody. We are transferring anointing by convention. And a good example is found in Acts chapter 19, verse 11 to 12. Acts 19, verse 11 to 12. The Bible says, from the body of Paul, handkerchiefs, aprons were taken to people who were sick. And as soon as demons see this handkerchief that is carrying anointing approaching, they run. Well, there are some testimonies I could give, but let me ask, how many of you have been born again? Only 2 years. Raise your hand. Only 2 years. Okay. All right, put down your hands. How many of you joined the Redeemed Christian Church of God? Only the last 2 years. Okay. So, okay, I will share this testimony. You are not likely to have heard it. This one happened, I think, 1982 or so. So, I have just returned from America. I've just seen God performing some miracles and signs and wonders through some men of faith. And when I was in the plane, I was discussing with Daddy. I said some things that if he were not God, probably would have killed me. I said, God, I've seen you now making the lame to walk, doing miracles here in America. If I get back home to Nigeria and you don't do the same thing, I'm going to tell everybody that you are a racist. It's my daddy, otherwise he would have broken my head. But he knew that I was saying it out of a genuine concern for my people. Lord, I'm going back. What I've seen you do here, you must do in Africa. And to prove to me that he was ready, an opportunity came very, very quickly. As soon as I arrived, weak and tired, a sister came and said, my grandmother is sick. They've taken her to the hospital. They operated on her. They sewed her back. But for one reason or the other, maybe because of old age, because she was over 80, the place they sewed back refused to heal. And now whenever she ate any food, the food was coming out of the place. So she was sinking, but because she was wealthy, the doctors could not send her home. So they were just waiting for the old woman to go. She said, I don't mind if the granny dies, but I don't want her to die in a disgraceful manner. So if God will just heal her first, and then some days later, if she wants to go, she can go. So please come and pray. I said, I'm sorry, I'm tired. I couldn't go. All of a sudden, I remember this passage. All of a sudden, I remember the little discussion I had with my daddy in the plane, over which he didn't break my head. So I said, go and bring me an handkerchief. And he brought one, and I prayed over it. That was the first time I ever did. I prayed over it and said, take it to your grandmother. She took the thing to the grandmother far away in the eastern states, somewhere there. Got there, laid it on the woman. The following day, the doctors came in to see if Mama was dead. Not only did they discover that Mama was healed, they could not even find this place where they operated. There was no scar left behind. That's one example of anointing transferred to bring about healing. I give you another example. I'm telling you this so that, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm telling you this so that you know what God is going to begin to use you to do. Did I hear your amen? Amen. Tell the fellow next to you, I'm the one he's talking to. This one also happened, I think, shortly after that one. You know, when I had the report of the first one, of course, my faith increased. And this time they came, some people came from Abeokuta, and they said there was a lady with a problem. Her problem was that she was sitting on a chair for 1 week. She wasn't talking to anyone. She wasn't eating. She wasn't sleeping. She wasn't getting up. Just sitting on the chair and looking straight ahead. 6 people tried to get her out of the chair. They couldn't succeed. When I said, why didn't you take her to her room? They couldn't move her from the chair. Well, somebody told them that when God is working with someone, anointing will advertise itself. Very soon, your neighbors will begin to knock at your door.
Amen.
Asking for help. Amen.
Amen.
And you'll be ready to give the help in Jesus' name. Anyway. So they came and they said, sir, what shall we do? So I said, that's no problem. Bring an handkerchief. So they went to Oyinbo, they brought the handkerchief. I prayed over it. Said, take it to her. Give it to her. Once she takes it, tell her to come and see me. They said, she won't talk to us. She won't call. I said, They said, she won't even take the handkerchief. Okay, if she won't take it, drop it on her. They got there, and when they left, about 3 hours later, they came with the woman. They dropped it on her and said, you are wanted in Lagos, and she got up immediately and followed them. And when she came, I said, are you the one they said who refused to sleep? She said, yes, which is the first time she has spoken to anyone in 1 week. I said, well, they also told me you have not taken your bath. She said, yes. Now, I ask you to go and take your bath right there in the church at the Abuja Meta. Take your bath. And I told the people, prepare tea for her and bread. I said, after taking your bath, eat and then go and sleep. She did what I said, which is a sign that she was completely healed. And she had remained normal ever since. So anointing can be transferred by contact, by convention, passing it into a medium, and the medium will take it somewhere else, and then by radiation. Now radiation means anointing can jump over space to reach you. In other words, you don't even need to wait till I finish. Because I know some of you now will be saying, today is today. I'm going to stand in the way and make sure that if he doesn't touch me, I touch him. My handkerchief, I will spread it on the ground so he will walk on it. No. Anointing can be transferred. Even now as you are listening to me, if you are really serious, if you don't consider this as just an ordinary seminar, if suddenly something within you is telling you, hey, you may not know it, but today is the day your life is going to change. If you are that kind of ready, the anointing can jump and hit you there. After all, the Bible says, he sent his word and did what? And healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. In other words, even the words coming out can carry the anointing to you. It all depends on how ready you are. And a good example is found in Acts chapter 5. Acts 5:12-16. Acts 5:12-16. The Bible tells us that they were laying sick people in the streets. And they were asking Peter to pass along so that his shadow, not an handkerchief from his body, not a touch from him, but his shadow, will heal people. That one, of course, is the highest form of the transfer of anointing. And I remember praying to my father long ago, Daddy, I thank you that when I lay hands on the sick, they are getting healed. Daddy, I thank you that when I pray over handkerchiefs, they are producing results. But I want to be able to stand and wave my hands and let miracles happen. Well, those of you who were at the Holy Ghost service last month, you will remember he did it. We wave our hands for 2 minutes, 3,025 people got healed. That's anointing by radiation. And believe me honestly, that's where God is going to take you.
Yeah.
Oh yes, because I can't do the work alone. I'm looking forward to the time when I will come to Nigeria, spend 1 month. And all I will do in that 1 month will be just to recharge the batteries of my workers. And then you go and do the rest of the work. I didn't hear your amen.
Amen.
Well, I told the brethren in Apapa yesterday, I said,
I have said it again and again. They think I am dreaming. Some of the things happening today are things I said in 1982 that God will do. You know, I've repeated it again and again. Some people are not listening. But some are saying amen. They are getting it because whether you like it or not, it's going to happen. The point is, will it happen to you? Or will it happen to someone else? Because my prayer ever had been, Lord, I want every usher in the Redeemed Christian Church of God to be able to raise the dead. I mean, they bring somebody in who's been dead for 3 days. And they ask, hey, please, sir, we want to see the pastor. This child died in Madiguri, and we've been trying to get here. The car broke down. The devil doesn't want us to get here. And the usher will say, take it easy. How long ago? They said, 3 days ago. You don't disturb our pastor on that. Put the fellow down. And they put the fellow down and say, in the name of Jesus, get up, my friend. When I was saying this kind of thing, when I say a day will come, when I will just wave my hands and people will be healed, there were people who said it may as a jest. A God dreamer. Keep on dreaming. Let me tell you, miracles are made up of dreams. The foundation of miracles. Dream. You can dream it, you will get there finally. I'm talking to you that at that time, the only people they will invite the pastor to come and deal with will be people who have been dead and in the mortuary for about 1 month. Oh, yes. Well, you may not believe it. You may say, amen. That's not likely. But you will see. Then they say, what about you, then, sir? What will you be doing? Well, anybody who dies that the pastors for one reason or the other could not raise, they will tell the people, all right, Joe, Oga has traveled. He's touring the branches all over the world. He will be back in 6 months' time, so don't bury the fellow. He's arriving on such and such a date. And you may think it's a joke, but it's not at this age that I begin to joke. And I don't joke with it. Things of eternal value. It's arriving on such and such a day. Make sure that your dead relative is on the route that is going to drive past. Because I'm not going to stop. I come down from my, it will be my own aircraft then. It won't be British Airways. Come down from my aircraft, get into my car, and every dead fellow on that route will rise. You better get ready. This is where God is taking us. And you may even think that this is going to happen in 10 years' time. It may happen in less than 2 years. So you better get ready. Amen? All right, that's the anointing. Now, let's talk about the anointed. The anointed is one who, empowered by the Holy Spirit, can generate anointing. The anointed is the one who, empowered by the Holy Spirit, can generate anointing. I see somebody waving there. You can't hear me or something? Okay, all right. It's talking. All right. Praise God. In other words, the anointed is like a little electric generator. You know, when you start the generator, it generates electricity. So the anointed is someone who is empowered by the Holy Spirit to generate anointing. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 to 3. Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 3. I will just read the first verse there. You know the rest. Jesus Christ said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. I mean, you can see a list of the works that anointing can do. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Anyone who is going to be called the anointed must have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I mean, there's no other way. If we are talking about the anointing of God, though, I mean, I don't have the time to talk about the anointing of the devil, because the devil has his own anointing. But since that's not your own business, you are no longer for the devil. Amen?
Amen?
All right. And the Bible said again in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts 10, verse 38. It said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So the anointed is the one who is empowered by the Holy Spirit to generate anointing, so that that anointing can break the yokes of the people the anointed will come in contact with. So when you are anointed, you can deal with lions. When I say lions, I mean physical lions, spiritual lions. Because you will remember very well when the Lord was talking about the devil, he said, your adversary, the devil, like a roaring what? Lion. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. And a very good illustration is found in Judges chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. Judges 14, verses 5 and 6. It's the story of Samson. He was going down to Timnath, and then a young lion roared at him. And when the young lion roared at him, when the young lion jumped at him, the power of the Almighty God hit him. He said the Spirit of God came on him mightily. The generator started working. Anointing was generated. When he grabbed the lion, he just tore it into two, as if you tear just a piece of paper. Flung one this way, another that way. One good thing that anointing will do for you, if you become anointed today, is that you'll be able to deal with all the lions in your own life. The lions in the life of your children. The lions in the life of all your relatives. And so on and so forth. I want to say this one to the glory of God, and God alone must take all the glory. Amen? You know that if there's any children that are usually terrible, more terrible than other normal children, they are the children of pastors. Am I correct? Oh, yes, because when you are leaving home, you tell them, don't disgrace me, oh. You know I'm the pastor. When you get to church, please, 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 you know I am. Don't, he will say, yes, daddy, yes, daddy. 5 minutes after you arrive in church, hey, come and see this boy, oh, he has broken the head of another fellow. Whose son is that? Pastor's son. Why? Because many, 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 many of the pastors do not pay attention to anointing. You are dragging people from the lion's den of Satan. And he will say, fine, if I can't catch you, what about your children? So the children of pastors face the most severe attack from the enemy. Papa is trying the best at home. You, when we get home today, you will see. And then they will get home, you will cane the boy. Caning is not the solution. Anointing is the solution. Amen? When you get the anointing, you can say, devil, you are not going to come near my house. You come, I tear you to pieces. And you don't joke with the enemy. Amen? So, because this is minister's conference, that's why I threw that one in, free of charge. When you get anointed, the first thing you'll be able to do is you set yourself free. You know, many of us go for deliverance. And at times, the fellow you go to for deliverance, he himself might be bound. That's why many people have gone for deliverance 10 times. And they are still bound. In fact, some of them are more bound than before the first went. But if the anointing of God comes upon you, you don't need to go to anybody for deliverance. You'll be free yourself. Because the anointing breaks the yoke. When the fire of the Almighty God comes upon you, every yoke will be broken. Amen? Judges 15, verse 14. Judges 15, verse 14. Again, the story of Samson. He was bound by his relatives. They wanted to hand him over to the enemy. And when they took him to the enemy. All the time they were taking him to the enemy, God kept quiet. God didn't bother. Just keep taking him. And as soon as he landed in the midst of the enemies and the enemies started rejoicing, as soon as the enemy said, hey, we got him, the generator started. The Bible said the Spirit of God came mightily upon him and every rope around his body just got burnt. That's what anointing does. It will free you. And I'm praying that today, the anointing will descend on you in Jesus' name. Because before you can begin to set others free, you must be free yourself. I mean, if I have stomach pain, and you ask me to come and pray for somebody with headache, I will say, I will come, but let me settle this one first. Anyone who is going to be in the ministry of deliverance, we need to take a look at him very well and say, oh, God, are you free yourself? Remember very well, one man is blind, and he was taken to go and pray for, because he's a prayer fellow. I mean, he claims to be praying for people. And then he went to one man, and the man was, I can't remember the sickness the man had. So the man was not really born again. He took a look at the fellow, he said, this is the fellow who is going to pray for me. They said, yes. This fellow, he said, yes. He said, no, don't waste my time. Ah, he's a powerful man of God. He said, hey, I am not a powerful man of God, but at least I can see where I'm going. You may say this man is wrong, but I think there's some sense in what he's saying. I mean, how can you be behind the counter in the police station accused of murder? The police was just deciding whether it is Kirikiri they should send you or Madiguri prison. And then they brought in somebody who stole 10 naira. And you say, I will stand bail for the fellow. They say, you? When you are not yet free, how can you be talking of deliverance for others? But you'll be free today in Jesus' name. And when anointing is there, as we find in Acts 16, verse 16 to 18, Acts of the Apostles 16, verse 16 to 18, when the anointing is there, setting others free becomes easy. Because you are not the one who will do it, it's the anointing that will do it. This is the story of Paul the Apostle setting one young girl free from the spirit of divination. He simply said, get out of her in Jesus' name. And the Bible said the demon left her that same hour. When we spend one whole night casting out one demon, something is wrong. It means we are using skill, not anointing. Oh, demon, we bind you in the mighty name of Jesus. It is written, come out, come out, come out. And the devil says, oh, God, you are the one who will get tired. Me, I don't need sleep. Keep on shouting. Whether you like it or not, today, hey, I am here as a representative of Jesus Christ. We all know that. Come out! He said, hey. And many a time then they begin to entertain you. He said, what is your name? I am the queen of the coast. I've been to India several times. I am this, I am that. It is your grandmother that put me into you. Poor grandmother is dead, so there's nobody to check. How many of you are there? We are 105. So you are in trouble today. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And when they know that, well, you are not, they have not got your attention sufficiently, then they begin to dance for you on the floor, in a row. And some of you will say, I say, come on! I say, hallelujah. What we need is the anointing, not the skill. What do I call it? Anointing. I will share this testimony with you. Some of you again have heard it before. But it will help you because that's what you are going to become. Because you are going to be a vessel unto honor. Amen. We were having a congress in Oshogbo. This was 1968. And 68 or 78, 78 rather, sorry, 78. I wasn't born again in 68, so I didn't know. I was I was as deep in the camp of Satan at that time as anybody could be. 78.
And I was going around
supervising the Bible study that they were doing.
And there was this young man and some brethren, they wanted to come.
I hope nobody is touching the something there. Okay, all right, thank you. Because I know you don't need deliverance. Even if you do, the anointing will jump over there.
And this fellow had a peculiar problem, this little, young boy, about 18. From the day he was born, he had this terrible urge to go into the fire. Anytime he sees fire, he wants to go inside. So they have kept him from the kitchen all the days of his life, because at the moment there is fire, it becomes a struggle. He just wants to go inside. So he now told the brethren, "This is my problem. I want to join the brethren who are cooking in the kitchen, but if I dare go near, it will not be food they'll be cooking, it will be me." So the brethren were getting ready to cast out the demons. They were rolling their sleeves, getting ready for action. And then they saw me coming. Ah, they said, "Well, good, bro is coming, so he will come and join us." In those days, we are all bro and sis. Amen. If you are born again, you are a bro or sis. No more, no less. So they saw bro coming. And they said, "Bro." So they told me the story. "Will you please join us?" I said, "Sure, provided you let me pray first." Because the way they were getting ready, I know it's going to be a long session. So I prayed the simple prayer that I knew. "Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I plead the blood of the Lamb over this fellow and over all of us who are here. And I take authority over the evil forces operating in the life of this boy. I decree that they will lose him and let him go. Demons, get out in Jesus' name. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' name I pray." So I continue my... They were looking at me. "Is that all?" I said, "No, I'm not saying so. I'll finish my own. You can now begin." But they found that if the senior bro has already prayed, what is junior bro going to say? So they left the boy. And of course, that's why I didn't even ask them what happened after that. But a week later, I was driving through Ife, and I branched to see one of my pastors just to say, "Oh, bro, thank you very much for coming to Oshogbo," and so on and so forth. And I met this young man there, looking entirely different. He said, "Do you remember?" I said, "Yes, I think I do." He said, "Well, just to prove to you that your God has set me free, I will cook your lunch this afternoon." What did it? It's not me. It's anointing. And you get the anointing today in Jesus' name. But then that brings us to the challenges of anointing. I don't want to call it problems, because that will sound negative. So I want to call it the challenges of anointing. The challenge number one is enemy attack. When you begin to cast out demons, I've told you this one, I think last year. You cast out this demon, he will go and report to you at the headquarters of Satan. You cast out another one, he will go and tell the devil. The devil will say, "You are supposed to be in the cage." "Pastor Adebo, you drove me out." "Ah, okay. But you are supposed to be in Benin. I put you in charge of a church in Benin." "Ah, well, somebody came there, or I think they say he came from Lagos." "What's his name?" "Adebo." "Okay." In the meantime, they keep on writing your name. I didn't use other names so that you won't think that I am about to frighten you. After some time, all these demons that have been sent out will gather and say, "Oga, we want to fight." These demons will say, "Well, we want to fight." Now, if they can't fight you, they can fight the microphone. Hallelujah. And the devil will say to them, "Are you crazy? Can't you see that this man is too hot? Don't go now. But keep your eyes open. Wait till he commits a sin." Commits what? Not two, or just one. You watch him. Now, if you go near him, you will roast. He's too hot now. But wait till he commits a sin. That's one of the greatest challenges of the anointing. If you become the anointed, you better stay away from sin. Because the enemy will be watching. They'll be waiting for you to just one. They won't wait for you to make a second mistake. They know your God is so merciful, so forgiving, so kind. So before you can say, "Lord, I am sorry," they will want to come in. And when they attack, they don't attack in small measures. As a matter of fact, the greater the anointing, the greater the attack to expect from the enemy. But don't worry. If you remain holy, if they come, they will fail.
Amen.
I say they will fail.
Amen.
I mean, even if there are witches or two among you here, they know I'm speaking the truth. They can try. When I leave, I'm going back to the camp. Go and stand in the way. My car will just roll over you. As simple as that. No problem. But that's as love for provided that you remain holy. When you go through the scriptures, you know the story of Elijah very well. We have been discussing him. You know the story in 2 Kings chapter 1, from verse 9 to 12 or so there. Elijah was sitting on the mountaintop, just having a nice time with the Lord. And one king sent 50 soldiers and a captain. Go and arrest one man, not 50 policemen, 50 soldiers and a captain. Go and arrest that man. The man, the only weapon he had, if he had any weapon at all, was the Bible. And when the men got there, you know the story. The captain said, "Man of God." Thank God they called him man of God. You see, when you have the anointing, they will know you have it. "Come down, you're under arrest." Elijah said, "Me?" He said, "Yes." "I'm under arrest?" He said, "Yes." "And you are the one to arrest me?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Okay then. We will know whether there is power in heaven or not. If I am a man of God, if it is true that I am a man of God, you and your soldiers roast." And before he finished speaking, they became ashes. Now that's what we call power. The caveat, he said, "I underestimated that man. I should have known that 51 people can't handle that man." So he sent another 51 and they roasted. Then the third group came. And this third captain had a little bit of common sense. They had waited, the other soldier did not return. When he came, he saw ashes on the ground. And they were all in the form of men. When he counted, it was 102. So he knew these ashes were the former soldiers. He went down on his knees. He said, "Oh God, please, I have children at home. I am not big enough to arrest you. Please, sir, it's my daily bread that brought me here. Have mercy." And God said, "Go with him. There's nothing you can do." When you are properly anointed and you are not sinning, let the enemies come. They will bow. Amen.
Amen.
Well, in the story of Elisha, who got a double portion of the anointing, in 2 Kings chapter 6, from verse 8 to 14, when the king was going to send for his arrest, he did not send 50 soldiers and one captain. He sent a whole army. The devil appreciates men of anointing more than we Christians. The way we treat men of anointing is not the way the devil will treat them. He knows them better than that. I mean, many of us, you see a man of God, anointed man of God, coming. You are also coming. You have to say, "Excuse me," before you allow him to pass. Thank God for the grace of God. If it were in the past, a man of God is coming, and you are coming, the two of you will now collide. It will take you 2 weeks before you recover. 2 weeks. If we would just let a little bit of the voltage hit you. I know what I'm talking about. I'll give you an example. Don't be afraid. You are my children. I will never do that to you. But before I fully understood what anointing can do, when I still didn't know as much as I do now, I had just finished recharging batteries.
over a period of some days. And I went to greet my friend. It was my friend I went to greet. It wasn't an enemy.
Before I fully understood what anointing can do, when I still didn't know as much as I do now, I had just finished recharging batteries over a period of some days. And I went to greet my friend. It was my friend I went to greet. It wasn't an enemy. I can't remember now whether it was the wife that saw me first or the husband. And it was out of happiness, not out of, we were friends. Hey, Pastor, you are here, so run and embrace me. At that time, I didn't know how to put the anointing under control. The power hit him. He just went down like somebody who has been knocked on the head. And the wife was falling. I don't know what happened. The wife didn't look at the floor. He was also coming to embrace. And the power hit her and boom, on top of the husband. And I was embarrassed sitting in the sitting room with her husband. I was praying, God, don't let anybody come. They were like that for 45 minutes. I knew because every minute was an agony to me because I didn't know. Somebody may come in and they say, oh, take part of Kotaya, it's killed husband and wife. And I just threw that one in for fun anyway. Anyway, so when they wanted to send, when the enemy wanted to attack a man that had double anointing, he didn't send 50 soldiers and a captain. He sent a whole army. That will show you the respect that the devil has for the anointed man of God, which is the more reason why we too should show respect for them. Because the more respect you have for the anointed man of God, the more the anointing in his life will do in your life. The Bible said it. He said, you honor a prophet, you will get the reward of the prophet. That's in my own language. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about me. I know you all respect me. Don't say I'm asking you to further respect or to... No. I'm just telling you the way things should be. Amen. Otherwise, some people may begin to worship one as if one is God. Challenge number one, attack from the enemy. Challenge number two, abuse of power. If suddenly the anointing of God begins to work in your life, if you are not careful, you can create havoc. A very good example is found in 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23 to 24. Elisha has just received the double portion of anointing. And he was going. And there was these children who started singing, bald head, go up, bald head, go up. And he just turned and said, I curse you in the name of the Lord. Before he finished speaking, two she bears were supernaturally created. Before you can say Jesus is Lord, 42 children were dead. 42 children. The moment you become anointed, take care. That's why you find that the more anointed a man truly is, the cooler he becomes, the quieter he becomes, the humbler he becomes, the more difficult it becomes to annoy him. It's not because he's weak. It's because he's afraid. Afraid that if he gets angry, you know electricity. Why do they put fuse in the house? Because if he surges in, all of a sudden, every good thing in the house can be destroyed. So when you become anointed, please, I beg you, stop saying, I hand you over to God. What did I say? Don't hand over anybody to God. Because if you get anointed and you say, I hand you over to God, or worse still, I hand you over to Satan. And then the third challenge of anointing is the corruption of power. Corruption of power. The Englishman says, power corrupts. And absolute power does what? Corrupts absolutely. Believe me honestly, when the anointing is upon you, if you are not very careful, you will know. You will know the power is there. And you have seen some of the ministers in our country. God has used them to cure headache. What is the next thing? They get the biggest lawyer, brother, and they go on television and announce it. Anybody who needs help, just come to me and you will see the power of God. By the time you finish, you won't even know whether it is God that we are coming to see or himself. Power corrupts. And that's why Jesus Christ said, listen, in Matthew 7, verse 22 to 23, Matthew 7, 22 to 23, he said, many of you will raise the dead, you will make the lame to walk, you will open blind eyes in my name. And yet, when on that day you come before me, I will say, I don't even know you because you are a worker of iniquity. I give you one example, a very sad example, but like the elders will say, it is those who fall into a pit that teach those who are coming from behind to watch out. You've heard the testimony of this young man, I've given it, but I've always stopped at half of it. Because you are workers and ministers, that's why I want to tell you the whole story. This is a brother that was so empowered by the Almighty God that one day when a dog that was covered with charm from head to toe, you've heard the testimony before, came in through the locked door to attack him. He spoke only one word, Jesus. And the dog just collapsed there and died. This young man raised three people from the dead. Three. This young man once went to preach in a teacher training college. And he couldn't speak English. He was an illiterate. So he was thinking, what am I going to do now? Maybe I will speak in Yoruba and they will interpret in English. But as he got there and he opened his mouth to say, he just discovered that the best English started flowing out of his mouth. When he preached that several souls were saved. This fellow was so anointed that when he's praying for you, if you have stomach pain, for example, he can describe to you how the pain is moving as he's going on his way out. He can see into your intestine when he's praying for you. But then, a time came when they say, bro, let's go for Bible study. He will say, who is going to lead the Bible study? They said, brother, so and so. Yeah. How many dead has he raised? How many blind eyes has he opened? And when you get somebody who has done more than I've done, then come and call me. Today, he's in a lunatic asylum. Power corrupts. When you get the power, suddenly nobody can talk to you anymore. You are me. You want to advise me? How many souls have you saved? How big is your church? Tell me, what's the tithe coming into your church every month? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know how many planes I have? Come on, my friend, go sit down. And the devil will tell all those demons that to cast out and say, hey, time to attack. So what is the condition for anointing? Simple. Holiness. You want anointing? Be holy. Hebrews 1:9. He said, because you love righteousness and hate iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above all thy fellows. Why is holiness the only condition for anointing? It's because if you are holy, you will not be proud. If you are not proud, you'll be teachable. And holiness means obedience. That's another word for holiness. When they ask you to sit down, you sit down. When they ask you to stand up, you stand up. Whatever God asks you to do, you will do. If you are holy, you'll be getting closer and closer to God. The more you get closer to God, the more you discover that you are nothing. And if you are nothing, if you know that of your own self you can do nothing, automatically you will not take any glory that belongs to the Almighty God. And if you are living holy, you won't commit adultery. You're living holy, you won't lie, you won't cheat. So the demon will wait till you go to glory. They still be waiting for your son to grow dim. As long as we remain holy, the sun will be shining brighter and brighter and brighter. And the demon will say to the devil, we told you to let us attack this man when he was small. You said we should wait. He said, wait. After all, for Moses, we waited some 80 years before we got him. But Adeboye, they will never get. And they won't get you either. Well, are you ready for anointing? Because they told me this thing is to end by 12:30. 1:30, Abby. Uh-huh. So we have 2 minutes to go by your clock. Whether that clock is accurate or not, I don't know. There are 2 things we are going to do. You will do one, I will do the other. And the first one is that we are going to talk to God, because be careful, be very careful before you pray this afternoon. We are not here to joke. The time for joking is past. A fool at 40 is a fool forever. I am 52. I'm no longer in the joking business. Everything I do now is for eternal life. It's for eternity. The prayer you are going to pray now, be careful before you pray it. If you are not ready to live a life of holiness, don't pray the prayer. And the prayer is simply, Lord, I am ready to be anointed. That's the prayer. If you are not ready, just say, Lord, I just want to thank you for the enjoyment, for the entertainment of this afternoon. Hey, Lord. I know you are going to pray standing, not you don't pray that kind of prayer sitting down. Lord, I'm ready to be anointed. Just pray for 2 minutes so that when I pray my own, you won't say I'm the one who forced it on you. Talk to the Lord now. Say, Lord, I am ready. I am ready to be anointed. I'm ready to be a vessel unto honor. I'm ready to become a generator for you, a generator of power, of the power of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Brethren, I want you to stretch your hands towards me. I'm going to pray and I'm going to wave my hand. I'm going to ask the Almighty God to impart to you that anointing that you need to be what he wants you to be. A vessel unto honor, a carrier of the power of the Almighty God. So that beginning from today, anyone you touch will receive a divine intervention in his or her life. Daddy, I want to thank you. Eternal Rock of Ages, I want to magnify your name. Because I know you are going to glorify your name in our lives this afternoon. Please accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Daddy, it is with faith in you that I'm going to wave my hand to these, your children, that the anointing that you have placed upon my life might be transferred to every one of them. Amen. Father, let it be so in Jesus' name. Right now, Lord, I pray that all the hands that are stretched to you will receive an impartation of that special anointing in Jesus' name. That from now on, my Lord and my God, they will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed in Jesus' name. They will cast out demons and they will raise the dead in Jesus' name. Whatever they touch will prosper in Jesus' name. They will all become vessels unto honor in your name in Jesus' name. Every one of them now, I pray that the anointing will come on them in Jesus' name. Father, let your fire fall on them in Jesus' name. Let your fire fall on them in Jesus' name. Let your fire fall on them in Jesus' name. Let your fire fall on them in Jesus' name. Let your fire fall on them in Jesus' name. Let your fire fall on them in Jesus' name. Let your fire fall on them in Jesus' name. And every yoke in their own body, let them be broken now in Jesus' name. Thank you, my Father. Just lift your hands to the Almighty God and bless his name. Bless his name. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Open your mouth and bless the name of the Lord. Open your mouth and bless the name of the Lord. Thank him. Thank him for what he's done.